Have you ever been so sure of something that you were willing to bet anything because you were just so sure that this was going to happen? But then later you realized that you were totally wrong. You were like, wow, that really surprised me. I think we've all been there, right? We've all been there. You approach somebody in the market, see somebody in the street that you think is someone that you know. You say, hey, and then they're not. And you're like, oh, you know, it's pretty embarrassing. Or you're like, hey, I think this team is going to go really far. I think they're going to win. And they turn out flopping the season. They're terrible. Or you think you aced a test. Or maybe there's a trivia question out there. And you're just like, I know the answer. I know the answer. And you tell everyone so boldly. And it turns out that you're absolutely wrong, right? I mean, we've all been there. And the thing is, like, if you make it known publicly that you are so sure about something and you get it turns out that you're wrong, it's pretty embarrassing, right? It's you're like, ah, you want to, you know, hide in a cave or put your head in the sand for a little bit until it kind of dies down. I mean, it's pretty embarrassing, but I want you to imagine this. I want you to imagine that you were so sure about something that you literally bet everything on it. Your future, your happiness, all your relationships, everything. Everything hinged upon you being right about this. And then the day came, and to your horror, you realized you were wrong. It's more than just embarrassing. It's more than just terrifying. At that point, your life is over. Now, if you can imagine that, if you can just imagine what that might be like, then you can understand what happened to a man named Saul in Acts chapter 9. That's what happened to a Pharisee named Saul. Saul was a religious zealot. He was a Pharisee. He studied under the most respected and capable scholar of its time. He devoted his life to be a student of the scriptures, and he lived for the glory of God. And because he was a student of the scriptures, he was convinced that a man named Jesus, a teacher, Jesus of Nazareth, he was convinced he was a false teacher. Not just a false teacher, that he was a dangerous threat to his people and to the honor of his God. The law was everything for Saul. It was God's commandments, his instructions, and it was the way to gain acceptance from God. And now Jesus, he came along and basically taught in a manner that said the law, while it wasn't obsolete, it wasn't useless, he taught in a way that diminished its value. And he even said things to the effect that the law was something that he had personally fulfilled. He went around doing things to almost undermine the instructions in the law, like doing things on the Sabbath. It wasn't a direct violation of what the law itself, but the traditions that came out from the law, the traditions that many in that Jewish religious community saw as almost being, they wouldn't have said this, but that this is how they treated it, almost being equivalent to God's commandments, he almost trampled them. He diminished them. He mocked them. And so for Saul, you can understand that when he thought about Jesus, he thought of him as being a threat to his very identity. And so while Jesus was now no longer with them, the movement didn't die down. Jesus' teachings were passed on to his followers. And so Saul took it upon himself to make sure that his teachings would scatter and that his people would scatter. See, Saul wasn't an evil man. Yes, he was, you know, in some respects a killer. Yes, in some respects he was like a terrorist. But it wasn't out of just a bloodthirsty desire to see people who he considered his enemies suffer. It wasn't just because of that. It was because Saul honestly thought that as he was doing this, he was doing it for the glory and the honor of God. He honestly believed that as he would be successful in crushing this movement and causing countless people to suffer, that God was in heaven looking down on him, saying, "Well done. Well done, my servant." And that's why Saul did what he did. That's why he persecuted them. But then in that shocking road to Damascus, everything changed. Verse 1 of chapter 9, it says, "Well, Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest, asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that he may, so if he found any belonging to the way, men and women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem." Like, give me license to be able to do this. He had Stephen killed, and now he was on a war path, intent on exterminating, extinguishing, squashing this movement. But then in verse 3, read what it says with me. It says, "Now as he went on his way, he approached Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven shone around him, and falling to the ground, he heard a voice say to him, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?' And he said, 'Who are you, Lord?' And he said, 'I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting.'" Bam! On the road to Damascus, Saul came to the horrifying realization that he was wrong. Totally wrong. Totally wrong about Jesus. I mean, this is more than being embarrassed. Like, "Oh my goodness, I'm so sorry. I thought you were somebody I knew." This is more than, "I thought I would do so well, and then I guess I'm not as smart as I thought I was." I mean, that's pretty bad. That's nothing compared to what Saul realized at that moment. It was like he saw the face of death looking at him as he looked in the mirror. Because when he realized that he was totally wrong about Jesus, that he wasn't the threat that he thought he was, when he realized that Jesus was actually the anointed one of God, that he was actually the Son of God, there were three things at that moment that came crumbling down from what he once thought he knew to what he came to realize. The first thing is, he came to realize in that instant, in that moment, that he was totally wrong about God. Saul was wrong about God. Remember, Saul was more than just a student of the law or even an expert. He was the valedictorian of his class. He was the golden boy of the Pharisaic Jewish religious movement. He had everything everyone aspired to want, either in their own life or the life of their children. "Why don't you be more like Saul? Look at Saul. Like, he's the guy. Like, remember him. Put a picture of him when you study the Torah, right? Because, man, if you could be just like Saul, that would be so great. That would be so great for our family." And Saul, he grew up with this kind of affirmation. He was it. He was at the top of his class. There was no one who he was competing with. They were always comparing them to him. And Saul, he was more than just a religious leader. Like, he was one that he honestly believed that God was really well pleased with him. That he knew God. And if he knew anything about God, he knew that what Jesus was claiming was totally wrong. There is no way that someone could claim to be the Son of God. I know Jesus has been healing a lot of people. I know that a lot of people think that he is the Messiah, but I know the law. I know the law. You can't tell me this is what the law says. There is no way. He is a blasphemer. I don't know what power he's doing it. It must be by the power of the devil. Now, mind you, that there were a lot of disciples who interacted and interfaced with Jesus who weren't on that place where Paul was or Saul was, right? They knew what Jesus was claiming, and they had the conflict of realizing that maybe this was really Jesus, but it was out of jealousy, it was out of spite that they wanted to push Jesus down. It was out of envy that they held him back and eventually persecuted and killed him. But that's not where Saul was. Saul was in a place where he honestly believed that Jesus was totally wrong because he knew the law. He knew God. And there's no way that God operated like this. And then on that road to Damascus, when Jesus revealed his identity, in that shocking realization, Saul was like, what do I know? Because if I'm wrong about God, what am I right about? If there's one thing that I was convinced of, it is that God was one. And that Jesus couldn't be the Son of God. And at that moment, it turned everything around for Saul. He had to rethink everything of what he thought he knew about God. And God, for Saul, was everything. Second, first he realized that he was totally wrong about God. Second, he realized that he was totally wrong about himself. Once again, Saul, if he knew anything and if he believed anything, it was that God was well pleased with him. He excelled at everything. Talk about keeping the law. I was a zealot. I came from the tribe of Benjamin. The Benjamin tribe that stuck with Judah while all the other tribes, they fell away. This is how Paul describes how he saw himself before conversion. In Philippians chapter 3, verses 4 through 6, listen to how he describes how he saw himself. If anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. As to the law, I was a Pharisee. I was an expert. As to zeal, I was a persecutor of the church. As to righteousness under the law, I was blameless. Now, he's not saying he was sinless, but he's saying to his conscience, in every respect to his ability, he kept the law, no matter what cost, no matter what it demanded. He was a zealot. He was a Pharisee. He's from the tribe of Benjamin. He was a persecutor of a church. There is not anything that he would not have given up or sacrificed if he believed that God had expected it from his people, no matter what the cost. Confidence in the flesh? No one had more confidence than me. No one. And for the first time on that road to Damascus, when that light shined from heaven, he realized he was like a criminal running around with a helicopter spotlight on him. And he looked in the mirror and he realized that he was not as acceptable, he was not as pleasing, he was not as righteous as he thought he was. He was unrighteous. The first time in his life, he realized that he was not enough. He didn't do enough, and he could never do enough. Do you remember the first time that you realized that, man, maybe I'm not the person that I thought I was? Remember the first time, like, somebody told you something, you refused to hear it, but at that moment you came to realize that, oh my goodness, maybe I am that person. I know that you've been telling me I've been selfish and all that, but like for the first time you realize, oh my goodness, like I'm not as lovable as I think I am. I'm not as good as I think. Do you remember that time? I mean, that's pretty disturbing, isn't it? That's pretty unearthing. That's pretty... It's a moment where you're just like, oh my goodness, I totally stink. Maybe not those exact words, but you know what I'm getting at. When you get to that point and you realize that there is nothing that you could do to improve yourself, you know what that feeling is? That feeling is hopelessness. When you realize, if you think you're not enough, but then you think that if I do this, I could get there, like there's a game plan, that if I do this, if I work hard enough, but when you get to a point where you realize that no outside help, no strategy is ever going to get me to that place. There is nothing more hopeless than that. When you come to realize, oh my goodness, like, I'm not enough. And for the first time in Saul's life, for the first time in his life, he was able to see himself as he really was. And it was horrifying. It was horrifying. He realized that he was totally wrong about God. He realized that he was totally wrong about himself. And third, he realized that he had totally wronged God. It's not just that he was wrong about God or wrong about himself, but he had wronged God. Saul was persecuting the church. He was doing everything he could to make being a Christian and being a member of the church as much of a living hell as possible. Because he really believed the church was an enemy of God and that God was with him. But on that moment, when Jesus didn't just say, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting those innocent people? Not, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting my people? Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? He was like, whoa. How many of you struggle with road rage? Yeah, one honest person here. How many of you struggle with road annoyance? Huh? Yeah, okay. More of you. Road rage, road annoyance. I mean, we've all been there. You're driving and somebody cuts you off or somebody's driving so slow. Like, get out of this lane. Don't you realize that this is a lane that, you know, where you're allowed to go above the speed limit, you know? I mean, we've all been there. We've all been in situations where, you know, we're glad we don't have the Jesus is Lord on our bumper sticker, right? because at that moment, all bets are lost. Once you get into that cockpit, all bets are lost, are all off, right? You're just like, I don't care. Like, I need to get to my destination. And you leave your Christianity at the door, right? And that's how you act. But imagine this. Say you're driving one day and there's this guy or girl. You don't know that, you know, the windows are tinted, right? And you're just like, ah, you're going crazy. And you want to just kill this person, right? You make all these gyrations and all of these different things. Maybe cut them off. Maybe, you know, your tail, you're right upon his or her, you know, bumper. And you're just wanting to show them you're being aggressive, right? And you're driving to work and you turn into the driveway, into the parking lot, and in the rearview mirror, you see that car drives into the parking lot. You're just like, oh, they're following me. Like, maybe they have a gun. Maybe this is going to go on the news. Something bad's going to happen. You park. They park. You get out of the car. They get out of the car. You realize, oh, my goodness, it is your boss or the CEO of your company. And they look right at you. I mean, you'd be horrified, wouldn't you? You'd be horrified. Here's Saul. He is persecuting these enemies of the faith. And at that moment, he realizes, as he gets off the road to Damascus, and out of the other car comes Jesus Christ, the Son of the God that he had been worshiping and serving and sacrificing for all of his life. What would you think if you're Saul at that moment? If you're Saul at that moment, there's only one conclusion that you could come to. I'm dead. I'm dead. I'm going to get the pink slip. My life is over because I was wrong. I could not have been more wrong. You know, there's a lot of things you could be wrong about in life. There's a lot of things we are wrong about in life. But there are a few things that if you're wrong about in life, that will totally ruin your life. And this was it for Saul. But then, Saul got something that he totally didn't expect. In verse 6, "But rise and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do." The men who were traveling with him stood speechless, hearing the voice but seeing no one. Saul rose from the ground, and although his eyes were opened, he saw nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him to Damascus. And for 3 days he was without sight, neither ate nor drank. He was blinded, and there is nothing that he wanted to do. He didn't eat or drink for 3 days, and he wasn't trying to lose weight. He couldn't do anything because he was dead. But in that moment, through a brother by the name of Ananias, Saul received something he didn't expect. In verse 17, read with me, it says, So Ananias departed and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road by which you came has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." And immediately something like scales fell from his eyes, and he regained his sight, and he rose, and he was baptized. And taking food, he was strengthened. Totally expecting to be handed over, to be judged, he was welcomed in to a house, and he was healed. He was forgiven. The very people that he hurt and persecuted would turn and call him brother. He was given the Holy Spirit, and he was given an invitation not to just be a guest, not to just receive mercy, a one-time shot, but he was given an invitation to be a part of them, to be one among them. They called him brother, Brother Saul. And the thing, brothers and sisters, that we need to remember is that God didn't judge Saul. He saved him. He healed him. He forgave him. And the thing we have to realize is that Saul was saved not in spite of the fact that he was wrong, not in spite of the fact that he got Jesus wrong, but he was saved because he was wrong, because he was wrong about God. Because at that moment, everything that he thought about God was shattered, and there was a blank slate. And what filled its place with a God who was merciful and gracious. A God who was powerful, who was awesome, who was transcendent, but who was also imminent. He was also God with us. He was Emmanuel. Not only God with us, he was a God who would suffer on behalf of us. And in that moment, Saul's world was turned upside down. And he was not shocked and regretful that he was wrong, but he was thankful that he was wrong. I was so wrong about God. I'm so glad, God, that you're so different than I expected. That you're so much greater than I ever imagined. He was forgiven, he was saved because he was wrong. And it was a moment that would transform his life. But not only transform his life, it would be the turning point for the movement of Christianity. This one conversion. Several things that we can learn from his conversion. Number one, to be wrong about Jesus, brothers and sisters, is to be wrong about life. It's to be wrong about life. We get, like I said, we get a lot of things wrong in life. Nobody gets everything right. It's all a part of what it means to grow as a person. How many times have you come across things in life where you realize, oh, wow, I was wrong. And I'm so glad I was wrong because now I'm starting to see the things for as they are. Maybe things are not as peachy keen as things once were, and you realize, wow, I was wrong about this, or I was wrong about this person, or I was wrong about that. I was wrong. I used to think LeBron was better than Jordan, but I realize that I'm wrong, right? I used to think the Orioles were the best, but now I realize. I used to, you know, in jest, obviously. But there's a lot of things that you could hold to your grave that you believe in, and it's really no big deal. Brothers and sisters, I want you to know that Jesus is not one of those things. If you get this Jesus thing wrong, it doesn't matter what you get in life right. Because everything is wrong. We have to realize that. Because the world wants to tell us that this Jesus thing is just like every other thing. It's just a difference. So you have to accept it. So we should accept it. Like whether you like, I don't know, this team or that team, whether you like living here or living there, whether you think doing this is better than doing that, you just need to accept. Because who's to say who's right or wrong? Brothers and sisters, if you believe the Bible, if you are a Christian and you've trusted in Christ, you need to realize that Jesus, in getting him right and understanding who he is not like anything else in life.
You get Jesus wrong, your life is wrong. You have to get this Jesus thing right. What it means, brothers and sisters, is everyone that you see, everyone that we see, everyone in this world, the most critical issue in all of life is this, is Jesus, is who, what they think about Jesus. That's it. That's it. He's not one of the many things. He is the thing. You have to get him right. You have to know who he is. Because if you don't, and whoever doesn't, there will be a day of reckoning. There'll be a shining light that comes, and you will realize on that day, all will realize on that day who Jesus is. Brothers and sisters, if it is on the other side of this age, if it is in the age to come, it will not be one where you, in your realization, or they, in their realization, are glad that they were wrong. So, brothers and sisters, let me ask you this question. What do they think about Jesus? Who's they? You fill in the blank. What do they think about Jesus? Do you know what they think about Jesus? Because this should be the number one thing that we ought to know. Like, what do they think about Jesus? Because this is everything. You're going to come across all different kinds of people through your walk of life. People who are different, people that you're going to disagree with, people who think this way or that way, people who prefer this or that. And you know what? Sometimes we major on those things and think those things are the most important thing. Like, what do you, like, are you red or are you blue? You know, are you north or are you south? Are you, and those are the things that we want to know. But really, I mean, I'm not saying that those things are not important, but this is the most important thing. You know, I've came across this thing on social media and I wrote it down. It was written or said by Francis Chan. What he said is, life is about Jesus. Life is about Jesus. We are not here to tell our story, but his. You are here, we are here to tell about him. Because life is about Jesus. So I'll leave it at that. To be wrong about Jesus is to be right about life. Second thing we can learn from this. If you get the Jesus thing right, if you get the Jesus thing right, then it doesn't matter how wrong everything else is in your life. Jesus will make you right. Let me repeat that. Brothers and sisters, if you get this Jesus thing right, it doesn't matter whether you're wrong about everything else. He makes you right. When the Holy Spirit came down, it came down not only to Saul in Tarsus, right? It came to a guy by the name of Ananias. He had no clue what was going on. But the Holy Spirit told Ananias, go, because something else is going on. And there's this guy, Saul from Tarsus, right? Saul, and I want you to go and relieve him, minister to him. And you know what Ananias was like? He was like, wow, God, like,
Are we talking about the same Saul? Saul is a pretty common name. I'm sure there's a lot of guys from Tarshish, but we can't be talking about the same guy, because this guy, just to refresh your memory, God, this is a guy who is causing so much pain for so many people. Like, this is the guy who has done all this wrong. And God is like, yeah, I know, that's the guy I'm talking about. That's why I called you, because you know who I'm talking about. And I want you to go, and I want you to minister to him. Really, God? He wasn't excited about it, because Saul had done all this. And you know what God was saying at that moment? You know what he's saying to us? So at that moment, even though it wasn't where Saul voluntarily got the Jesus thing right, he got the Jesus thing right. What he's saying is, because he's right with Jesus, it doesn't matter that he got everything else wrong. Because I have a plan for him. And I made someone like Saul right. Brothers and sisters, I don't care what you got wrong in your life, how much you have messed up everything in your life, or even who you've hurt, or how much you've hurt yourself. I want you to remember this. When you get the Jesus thing right, he makes everything right. So Saul, in all of his self-righteous unrighteousness, could come to Jesus, and Jesus would make everything right. That's incredible. But that's what Jesus does. Because that's what Jesus came to do. He came to make everyone who was so wrong right. And that's the good news. Amen? And third and finally, right? To be wrong about Jesus is to be wrong about life. You get the Jesus thing right, he will make everything right. It doesn't stop there. If you get the Jesus thing right, folks, everything else in your life, you just wait. Not just theoretically, he makes it right because you have been imputed with the righteousness of Jesus. He will start making everything right in your life. God wasn't done with Saul. He could have simply saved him and let him live the rest of his days in Damascus or wherever it was, Antioch, even Jerusalem. But he had a plan for Saul. He had a plan not to just change his name, but to change everything about his life. And this would be the turning point of the church. Thank God for that. On every level, God transformed him. So brothers and sisters, I want you to remember this very important truth. If you have Jesus right, if you've gotten Jesus right by God's grace, right now, no credit of your own, by God's grace, if you've got this Jesus thing right, you just wait to see what he's going to get right in your life. I don't care what is wrong. I don't care how much you feel like that relationship is gone, how much you feel like your future is gone, how much you feel like, you know, because you messed up along the way, there's no hope for this or that in your life. I want you to just wait and see what God could do in your life. He was an expert in the law, and he got the law wrong. But Jesus came, and it made it right. And what he got wrong, Jesus would transform and infuse so that we would come to understand the law in a new and glorious way. Without Saul, we wouldn't know Jesus as clearly as we do. Amen? You get Jesus right, you just wait what he's going to get right in your life.